Very
that's
creepy.
Another one. That's... Oh, yeah.
Robbie Nyswanger joining us from the Arkansas News Bureau. Nothing creepy about him, and he just got out of a press conference with Mike Anderson. Sort of an end-of-season wrap-up, I assume, Robbie?
Yes, end-of-season wrap-up. Kind of lay it all on the table, and this is where the program is right now and where they hope to be in the future. And so, yeah, it was about 35 minutes, so we got to talk to Mike for a while today.
So let's talk about what's, you know, first things first. Marshawn, BJ, any updates?
No updates. No, really? What he said is that, you know, these guys are all on spring break right now. So basically since the end of the SEC tournament, you know, they had a couple days in there. They thought they were going to get in the NIT, and obviously they didn't. And as soon as they didn't get in the NIT, well, these guys are dismissed for spring break because, you know, it just happens to fall this week. So, you know, you don't want to keep the guys on campus so they can go home. So everybody's gone home. Mike says that he plans to talk to, you know, all of his assistants and all of his players in one-on-one meetings. He said those are going to happen after the Final Four. But you get a feeling that if a guy like B.J. Young or Marshawn Powell make a decision beforehand, they're going to talk to Mike about it. And, you know, then they'll go ahead and make their decisions known. But at this point, you know, it seems to be a fluid situation. I guess that's the best way to describe it right now.
Well, you got to think that they're looking forward to great careers in Greece and maybe Tel Aviv, somewhere in Eastern Europe.
My gut feeling is that both those guys are going to move on. I think that's a lot of people's gut feelings, and you know, that's okay. It's a decision they've got to make. Do they want to be here in school? Do they want to keep playing for this basketball program, or do they want to try to go make some money, whether it's in the NBA, whether it's in the D League, whether it's, you know, overseas? And you know, it's an individual decision for all these guys. And you know, I guess there was a mock draft that came out earlier this week, and we know that Marshawn wasn't on it, and BJ was like number 45 in the second round. So you're not talking about high draft picks at this point. So it's just it's a lifestyle decision, I guess, for both these guys right now.
And now your starting lineup for the Lebanon Bobcats.
Right, I was going to say.
That forward from the University of Arkansas, Marshawn Powell.
You can throw the records out when Tel Aviv and Haifa go at it. That's a grudge match there, boy. Oy vey.
Oh, beautiful. Anything else significant come out of it? I mean, what's his assessment of the program? What are his hopes for next season? I mean, just give me an overview of the conversation.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, the first thing he did was he walked in, he sat down and said, well, I wasn't expecting to talk to you guys right now at this time, meaning that, you know, he expected to be in the postseason somewhere. So because of that, you know, he did call it a disappointing year because he wants, you know, his teams to end up in the postseason, and he believes they should be there. And, you know, he was asked about the NIT specifically and, you know, what he thought, you know, when they didn't get picked, and he was surprised. He said he thought that they deserved to be called this year, and he thought that they deserved to be part of that tournament. But, you know, we obviously know they're not. So now what they're doing now is they're trying to build toward next year. And he said the key for him, you know, he wants to see his teams, you know, be tougher and have more leadership. He thought those two were areas of concern this year at times. They were problem areas. And I think where we saw that become the problem was on the road. You know, you've got to be tough. You've got to have leaders. You've got to have somebody that can really kind of grab everybody and say, let's go on the road. And they just didn't have that this year. And that's why, you know, the road record was as bad as it was. And, you know, he even was asked if he had seen, you know, such a discrepancy between, you know, home and road with his teams. And this is the biggest he's seen. So he was surprised by that. So, you know, I think it's just an overview of, you know, he was disappointed about the way the year ended with no postseason. But he didn't, you know, stress that, you know, we're still moving in the right direction here with this program. He feels like they're getting more parts and pieces to be able to win at a high level, and he thinks it's just taking a little bit of time to get there.
Robbie Nyswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau joining us in the Zone on the Revolution Hotline, and I was wondering if anybody asked Mike about the SEC in general and Missouri specifically after the Tigers lost last night.
Nobody asked about Missouri, but he was asked about, you know, the fact that there's only three teams in the tournament. And, you know, he actually talked about that, I think, on his own, too, some as well, before, you know, he even opened it up to questions. And, you know, he said, we've got to sit down as a conference and figure things out because, you know, we deserve or we need to have more teams in the tournament, obviously. You know, you want six or seven every year from the conference. And so whether it's, you know, scheduling, whether it's, you know, trimming back, you know, the conference schedule, whatever it may be, he feels like a lot of these issues are going to be addressed when the coaches sit down and meet in Destin in May. And they need to be, quite honestly, because, you know, the SEC, we all know that the league was down this year, although the coaches all feel like it was still a tough league. But I think we're seeing, as it plays out, you know, as teams, you know, go one and done in tournaments here, and there's only six of them to start with, that the SEC just did not have a good year. So they've got to figure out a way as a group, you know, collectively, you know, how to get their programs first, you know, looked at better nationally and then as a conference as well.
Well, don't you think the rise of Memphis really takes a lot of the recruiting away from an Arkansas that used to go in and raid Memphis quite a bit, a Tennessee that when they made their run when Bruce Pearl was there, they were able to recruit decent in Memphis. Ole Miss should be able to run up to Memphis and recruit some bad. So the natural end, that is such a hotbed, I think, for great recruits in Memphis is, you know, maybe with Calipari gone, Memphis basketball will be down at the collegiate level a little bit and scoop a few of those guys up.
Josh Pastner got him a win last night.
Yeah, I know.
Barely.
My point is maybe you can.
Josh Pastner's been there like 3 or 4 or 5 years. He still looks like he's like 12.
He does look like he's in a borrowed suit.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, you know, Memphis has done a good job of you know, keeping some of those guys there. But, you know, there's still a lot of prospects and a lot of players over there. And it's an area that Arkansas is going to continue to concentrate on. And, you know, they've got two Memphis kids on the roster right now with Wade and Antoine Bell. So, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, the reason why they've struggled a little bit, you know. But I think that, you know, Mike's the guy and his staff, you know, they're going to go out there and they're going to try to go find the right fit for this program. And, you know, it takes somebody a little special because you're not going to necessarily get to play 35 minutes a game. So you've got to be willing to play in this style and want to play in this style and know that you're going to be, you know, rotating with 10 or 11 guys. So that's the key there. You got to find guys that are willing to play in this style and you know, want to do the work that it takes to make it successful.
Robbie Nyswanger joining us from the Arkansas News Bureau on the Revolution Hotline. Arkansas baseball on the road this weekend, Robbie, at South Carolina. I'm assuming a disappointing opening series with Ole Miss, certainly a game Sunday that could have been won had not Arkansas made some mistakes. 14-7 overall now, 1-2 in SEC play. They go another new rotation this week, mixing it up again. Aston, then Stanek, and Randall Fant will be the Sunday starter for Arkansas this weekend against South Carolina.
Yeah, I was at the Sunday game, and there's no doubt that Arkansas was hurting about that one because of the way it ended. I mean, this team committed 5 errors, and it was a season high, but we all know that, you know, defensive mistakes and errors have been a problem in a lot of the losses this year. So what's happened this week is, you know, there was no midweek game scheduled, so they got some practice time in, and I think that they've shuffled up the infield. You know, Dave Van Horn wasn't available this week because he was out on the road recruiting, but Todd Butler filled in, and, you know, he wouldn't commit to anything, I guess, but I'm going to take a stab at what we might see in the infield starting tonight. I think you're going to see Jacob Mahan moving from second to third. You're going to see Brian Anderson at shortstop. You're going to see Ficicello in the lineup playing second base. You might see Willie Schwanke at first base. So don't hold me to it if that doesn't prove true tonight. We'll forget this conversation, you know, even happened. But I think that's the way it's going to look tonight. They're just trying to find that combination where they're not going to boot so many balls in the infield and give up some unearned runs. Because we know against South Carolina, you can't do that. I mean, these were tight games all last year, and they probably will be this year if Arkansas can play good defensively and pitch well.
Arkansas women, I don't know if you had a chance to go to the game last night, Robbie, with all your other duties. But
I did.
Yeah.
I was there, yeah.
Well, there you go. Congratulations. 67-57 win. We haven't talked much about it, but congratulations. They host Tulane on Sunday at 2 o'clock, and there are tickets available, provided Bill does not buy them all out between now and then. But anyway, nice to see Coach Collin with them getting in the postseason, get a win, and they were up huge early and then cruised to a 10-point victory.
Yeah, you know, normally I don't do any women's basketball coverage just because there's so much going on with football and baseball and basketball. But, you know, with nothing going on campus this week, it was a chance to go out there and you know, to cover a game. And, you know, they really feel like they were very close to the NCAA tournament, even though they struggled some in SEC play. They had a lot of close losses this year. So they got into the WNIT and they feel like, hey, well, we can win this thing. And that's their goal. And I think they did a good job of it in the first half of trying to prove that. And, you know, had a huge lead, had a 20-point lead, but then, you know, almost let it slip there in the second half, but made the plays down the stretch. They had to win, and now they get Tulane in the second round, and they feel confident, they feel good because they're at home again.
There we go. We also have the gymnastics, SEC gymnastics this weekend in North Little Rock at Verizon Arena, which
That's
is
always
much,
a bonus.
Actually, much more likely that you'll be there than that you'll be at the women's basketball
game. There'll be a lot of college gymnast.
You're not covering any gymnastics
downtown
this weekend, are you, Robbie?
Bonus.
If you guys need a story written, Bill would be happy to help out, I'm sure. So
take a press credential over there.
It sounds good to me. Hey, let's call Dennis Bird and Harry King and see if they want a story written. So let's make it happen.
I want to see the great Harry King do a story on women's gymnastics, women's SEC gymnastics.
Yeah, well, he's already starting his Augusta preview stuff, so I'm sure he's working on that. By the way,
one of them did a bunch of tumbling there that looked pretty good.
Speaking of golf, we need to get Ken Duke to keep up his little run he's got going. 4 under today, he has finished his round at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, say that 3 times fast, at Bay Hill. And Ken is tied for 4th, 6 under par right now. A win, of course, gets him into Augusta, so hopefully Harry and Ken can hang out over there. And Ken's played there before and played all 4 majors a couple years ago and has had great success. Also, Tag Ridings is tied for 38th. He was 2 over today, even for the tournament. Bill Haas, your leader at 9 under after a 6 under round today.
I'll tell you what, you go to Masters with Harry King, that guy's one party animal.
Oh yeah, he's a wild man.
You gotta see if in the old days he and Ian Woosnam would tear that town up Tuesday, Wednesday. Par 3 tournament on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You'd see him out Tuesday night.
You mean Harry Vardon?
Well, talking Harry King and Ian Woosnam.
Oh, okay.
Right there.
A little woozy.
Coming out of Smith and Walensky's after a couple bottles of wine.
Robbie, that's an assignment you gotta get into at some point.
What's that?
You got to get into that master's assignment once.
Harry
hangs it up 20, 30 years down the road.
I don't think that'll ever happen. That's going to be Harry's forever and ever and ever.
Well, he'll retire at some point. He's going to get tired of the rigmarole.
No, it's going to be his forever and ever and ever and ever.
Okay.
Few people know this. Harry King he harvests the organs of young men, so he's got the heart of a 19-year-old Chilean boy.
Wow.
Yes, exactly.
Is it true he just comes into the newsroom? Who's driving me to Augusta? Put my bag in the back.
I think they fly.
Okay. Yeah, you think so?
Stevens has a jet. I think they get to
use. They get through. Just pop on that.
That's a good deal, yeah. Well, Robbie, we appreciate you. And